Wow. How can you not go? What the heck was that? It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking. Education class is in session. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Jacob, chairman of the board, me, Dr. Tim Slecker. Whoa. There we go. And, well, obviously, you can hear we have a guest.
Entering the room. Let's go.
Way to come in and make an entrance. Heather from the Wisconsin Public Education Network. Yeah, you guys are like, that Heather? Yes, that is Heather Dubois. Renee, she is back to give us, you know, everything we could possibly imagine. Yeah, wait, she went out for a second, and now she's back in again. Heather, you got to go with the sound effects that you're providing us. That's why.
Oh, sorry.
It's good stuff, but, you know, Jake, chairman of the board, Dr. Tim Slecker, me, and, yeah, our guest Heather is back with us. And she has finally closed the door and said, I am here.
So yeah, for good. I'm locked in. Good.
She's locked in.
Locked in and fully leaded.
Fully leaded.
Oh my gosh. And here we go again.
Heather, what's happening in Wisconsin? And you got a new shirt on, we can see.
Yeah, I got a new, first of all, the good news, we fixed public schools funding forever. Great news, you might not have heard. And we got sweet new shirts that say public schools are superior.
Ooh.
Yeah, new collab with our friends at Ray Gun, who opened up a shop on State Street that everybody's super excited about. And they have our Public Schools Unite Us shirts in stock and one that says, I forget what it says. Like, Wisconsin needs strong public schools. I think they're super cool. You can get those in the store. And then we've also got an online shop where you can get this one in like a t-shirt or a sweatshirt, and you can get some other sweet stuff too. So check it out.
Check it out. And definitely again, show notes, we will have the Wisconsin.
Yeah. We'll definitely have the link in the notes. Jacob, chairman of the board, take notes, put that in there because we're all ordering those public schools are superior shirts. Big fan. Heather, but yes.
You can get one for free if you go to wisconsinnetwork.org/summit and register right now to come to our summer summit this summer, July 23 and 24 in Superior, Wisconsin. So that's why our shirts say public schools are superior, because we are hosting our big annual event up there, and we're really excited to take that show on the road. So more about that later, but folks who are wondering how to get one can get one for free until the end of the month.
Yeah, and twist my arm, visit Superior, Wisconsin in the summer. Let's go. That's beautiful. Yeah,
it's so beautiful up there, and we've got a sweet hotel deal and everything. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, I think we'll be doing some traveling, Tim. But in the meantime, Heather, we need an update. I mean, all the great things that y'all are working on. Give us the update. What's happening in the network?
We have been working overtime since the new year and beyond. I can't remember the last time I was on the show last fall. I think kind of giving some updates about some of the legislative stuff we were trying to push forward. And it should come as a surprise to no one that none of the great bills that have been drafted to support strong and thriving public schools have passed through our legislature. They've heard a bunch of nonsense, a bunch of bills directed at, disenfranchising LGBTQ kids, such important matters as mandating whether and when the state can serve margarine instead of butter to our school children, and the like. And we have watched good bills languish without even being given a hearing, which is really frustrating. The most frustrating of all, as far as I'm concerned, is one that would have called on state leaders to adjust the budget to provide some sufficient allocation for the 42% special ed reimbursement they promised in this budget, which, first of all, woefully inadequate to meet kids' needs. I think at 42%, we're still the lowest rate in the nation for states that reimburse the way we do for special ed for prior year costs. But it's better than the 36% we had last year, whatever it was. But the real tragedy is when all is said is done, when all is done and how does that go? When all is said and done, I think I had it right the first time. All was said and done, it turns out their initial projections were way off. And the actual amount that they allocated was actually only sufficient to cover about 35% of the costs, which puts us right about where we were before, still worse than the nation, still giving districts, you know, well over $1 billion a year in unreimbursed costs. And you'll remember that budget really only provided that as its singular contribution to public school funding. It provided $0 for the first time in state history in new spendable general aid in both years of the biennium. And so we've really been pushing for them to take up the bill that would fix that. And so far, no good. Meanwhile, we just found out that we're sitting on an even bigger surplus than they projected, obviously, because that's what you get when you don't fund your public schools. And we're looking at about $4.37 billion just sitting in Madison, unspent, unused, undesignated. And it's time to first of all, at the minimum, keep your promise. But how about we get to the 60% we actually need to move the dial for our districts and put some of that money toward actual general aid? It's nuts. So that's not where we are, but we're hearing that lawmakers are negotiating a deal where they may restore some of that commitment to special ed, but then they're going to blow the rest of the money in a scam that they call the school levy tax credit, which has school in the name. So it sounds like it's going to schools, but it's actually just property tax relief. Has absolutely nothing to do with schools.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay, so let's.
Sorry. Okay.
No.
I get on my soapbox fast because that's how I came in. Again,
we got to put out a shout out to Representative Angelina Cruz because she was on promoting that bill.
Yes, she was talking about it. That was a while ago. It still hasn't gotten a hearing. It got a bill number.
Still hasn't.
And we've had over 2,000 people sign our petition calling on lawmakers to move it forward.
But
which I can share the link to that too.
But listeners are hearing the B word, billion, surplus. I think people know surplus. That means, way above and beyond all of the needed things that have to be funded. So, holy crap, I went out into my backyard and with a metal detector, I just found a coffee can full of $100 bills. That's like a surplus to my neighbor, right? Like, wow, what am I going to do with all these hundreds?
Yeah.
And so they are faced with having a surplus, which, I mean, that's a good thing. If not funding the public schools, you were talking about, you know, they're going to fund a tax cut. Is that all? I mean, what are people saying? You know what, Heather, here's the deal. Look, we understand that special needs kids aren't being served by the fact that we continue to disregard their human rights and the realities that they face every day. We get it. We know we continue to harm children. We continue to create situations that don't put forward the needs that so many have. It's because we have to put the money here. Is it like as clear as saying we have to put the surplus money to tax cuts? I mean, anything else? Because if I had a legislator on here right now who was saying, you know, I would wonder what they were saying. You know what? Heather is all about funding special needs. She's not thinking about whatever. Help me out, Heather.
Heather's thinking about whatever. Heather's thinking about why your property taxes went up, right? People are mad in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. because we got our tax bills and they have gone up, right? People are like, whoa, wait a minute. I thought we just put all this money into education. Why are my taxes going up? Here's the rub. The reason Rep. Cruz had to put her bill forward in the first place was because the bill that our legislature signed into law last year was, in fact, not a budget that was intended to help kids, but it was a spite budget. Republicans are still mad at Governor Evers for the so-called 400-year veto, which provided a minuscule increase to public school spending allowance, right? Not an increase in aid, but an increase in how much you're allowed to spend at the local level. That's called revenue limit authority. It's confusing, but here's how it works. The state controls how much each district is allowed to spend. Those amounts are frozen, and they're different for every district, and they aren't aligned with student needs, and they don't make any sense, and they're very fair, and they should be illegal because they are disequalizing and bad. But we still have them, and we've had them since the 1990s. Revenue limit authority went up by $325 per kid, which, by the way, is about one-tenth of how much we needed it to go up in order to get back to how much we were spending in 2009. That's how far our gap actually is. This closed the gap just a little teeny tiny bit, but didn't allocate funds for it. And so instead of allocating funds for that, which would have come in the form of general aid, right, new and more general aid, the legislature flat funded public schools at the same levels they were the year before and said, you want that $325 a kid? You can pay for it at the local with your local taxes. So everybody's property taxes around the state had to get filled to make up for that amount, right? Because that's less than inflation, right? Districts don't have a choice but to raise taxes by that amount because their bills are going up way more than that. DPI told us last week special education costs have gone up as much as 20% over prior year. I mean, these are significant increases in these areas. And so because state funding didn't keep pace with inflation, and because the one bucket of money they did put aid in at the state level into special ed comes as a next year reimbursement, it's not money that gets into our classrooms this year. And so one, surprise, your property taxes are way up, and surprise, you're going to referenda again. We got 70 of our 421 districts going to referenda this April. It's nuts. And I predict that there'll be at least twice as many going to referenda in the fall, because we're in a year where we have a fall general election, which means you can go in either the spring or the fall. And most districts choose to go in the fall because that's when more people turn out to vote. So we're in a hot mess over here. We got costs on the rise. We got aid on the decline. And we've got people paying more and more to pick up the tab where they live. And just belts can't get any tighter at the local level. So something's got to give. And it's time for the state to do something about it. So if you don't like this and you don't understand it and you don't know who to be mad at, might I suggest the people at the State House? They're waiting for your calls right now. And they need to know how you feel about what they should do with this surplus and the rainy day fund that it can't ever rain enough for them to spend a penny of.
Johnny.
Well, I mean,
I know, like, right? It's just like,
I mean, I get, Heather, why you say that you're infuriated by this, that you know, you're mad, but I would also say more than mad, it's like a righteous anger that you're putting to action together with all the folks that are part of the network. It's like, how loud can we be? How many signatures do we need? And we'll keep increasing that number, because this is a common concern out there. We care about public schools. We know that. If you're listening out there in your community, this is, this isn't a partisan issue. This is about what we do to, underwrite our future as a state, as a country. We're hearing, like, we have the money. What in the world are we doing to not support and fund education the way it needs to be funded? So Heather, where do we go from here? Like, what do we do? I mean, we get more people involved, but what needs to happen?
You know, I will say this. All of this is happening despite resistance, right? People have been pushing back, standing up, fighting back, speaking out. as long as I can remember, right? And so it's not because of lack of concern or lack of public input. People turned out in huge numbers to testify at the budget hearings, you know, got to take the whole day off work, stand in line, wait for your 2 minutes or submit a written testimony. People did that, right? They've been showing up at the hearings, packing the rooms, sending letters to lawmakers, like I said, signing our petition, doing other communications. It's not because they aren't hearing from people. It's because we still have legislators who think they don't have to listen to the public. Our maps are more fair, but we are just coming out of a period of being deeply gerrymandered, and people are used to not having to listen to their constituents, and that's what's really got to change. So we've got an opportunity this fall to make sure that we are electing public school champions, and I don't care what letter they have behind their name. We got to make sure that we elect people on both sides who are committed to fully and fairly funding our public schools, and if they don't agree, they shouldn't get elected. Right. Well, so that's that. And if they aren't going to do their job, you know, I mean, I always say the status quo is not going to change itself. Right. We need to force the state to do it. And if it's time to like bring other kinds of accountability measures into play, maybe it's time. We've been saying for a long time that there's got to be another mechanism for holding the state accountable, whether it's through the ballot box or the courts.
Well, when, you know, and that, yeah, that's the part too, is like, how do you get these legislators to, you know, move in a direction that really makes them, you know, either point out specifically how they value their public schools or how they don't. I mean, we definitely have, you know, the vote, and we encourage voters always to get out there and make sure that you are, you know, practicing democracy, making sure that your vote counts. But, you know, Heather, again, the Wisconsin Public Education Network, too, to realize that there are advocates out there fighting tirelessly, putting together campaigns to inform your neighborhood about what's going on. And this issue, too, about, you know, not funding our public schools, whether it's special education, you know, the essential curriculum, like the arts, like music, all of those things, when it simply comes down to, you know, the fact that, and we talked to Representative Cruz about this, when it is always initially framed somehow by a group that's like, well, you know, those public schools, that's why your taxes are going up. I mean, I think what we continue to keep doing here, and you're trying to do here too, is to get people to understand that their taxes keep going up intentionally from the quote legislators who typically like to say they're a low tax legislator, and that the reality is that they're the ones that are creating the, particularly the real estate tax, because, you know, when a school, and we've said this over and over and over again, and neighbors, we hope you're grabbing onto this and listening and understanding how to talk about this. If you want lower property taxes or property taxes that make sense, mm-hmm. when you hear about a $4+ billion surplus, realize that actually school districts could be fully funded, still have a surplus, and create a tax cut. This is the part where, how do we help explain that more and more and more, Heather? You know, and I know that, you know, the Wisconsin WPEN does this, but sometimes it's just the simplicity of going, actually, your public schools aren't creating higher taxes. Your legislators, who will not fully fund public schools, are creating tax increases. Is it that simple that won't hold?
It's clear as day, right? The math is actually super simple. And like, honestly, Tim, like, you didn't set me up for this, but like, we have this little explainer right here. It's like, wait, why are my taxes going up? Because the state isn't putting money into schools, right? And when the state doesn't put money into schools, the only other option is for you to fill in the gap with property taxes. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we have to do, right? Districts have a certain amount of revenue limit authority where they can, you know, increase it, you know, by that small amount that Governor Evers allowed in his veto. Thank goodness, because otherwise we wouldn't have any. We'd be in an even worse situation. But it's still not enough. We mm-hmm. still have to choose to vote to raise taxes on ourselves at the local level to pay for what we actually need. And so people are doing this, right? Mm-hmm. We're not against taxes. Taxes aren't bad. I'd gladly contribute my share as much as I can afford to make sure that we have as good of schools as anyone else in the state. But that is a very disequalizing way to do it, because in communities where they can't afford to take on a greater tax burden, or where they're already paying more proportionately to their neighbors who can spend more, right, but get more state aid because of the way state funding works, then it becomes unfair. And that's where we see the gaps between have and have nots get wider and wider. And so while, you know, there are people who say, you know, in the state house, you want to raise taxes on yourselves, go ahead and do it. You can tax yourselves by referenda until the end of time. That violates a state's constitutional obligation to provide schools that are, quote, as uniform as practicable. This is a really important clause in our state constitution. The more we force these costs onto the local level, leave it up to faith and the whims of voters and the capacity of voters to take on additional tax, the more we commit ourselves as a state to disequalizing the funding formula. And that's where they're really running afoul of their constitutional obligation. And so we keep trying to sound the alarm on this because that can't stand, right? We have to meet our obligation to our kids, and we have to make sure that if we are going to make sure that every single kid in every single public school has equal access to similar resources, we need to, you know, the fixing that problem starts at the state house. And there's a lot they can do there. And the thing that's most mind-boggling of all is, you know, this is not beyond our means. We can afford to do this. There is enough money in this state, and there are enough sources of revenue out there right now that we could easily fund our public schools at adequate levels, and we're just choosing not to. That's the part that really blows people's minds. So I do hope people get mad about this, and I hope they join us. Visit wisconsinnetwork.org. Check out our map of local advocacy teams around the state. See if there's one near you. And if there is, check them out. If there's not, send us an email. We'll hook you up with the people we know in your region who are as mad as you are about all this and plug you into some actions. We got some cool stuff coming up too, which hopefully we can talk about in a minute.
Well, why wait a minute, Heather? Let's go right into that fun stuff. So that, okay. I mean, I was like, tell me about it.
I didn't know if he had a question.
No. Same thing. Cause I was just like, okay. Get into it. I mean, the conference particularly, because, you know, people are like, all you guys do is whine. It's like, okay, no, but good people are coming together. Talk about that. What's happening in Superior? I tell you one thing, if you're going swimming in Lake Superior in the summer, be ready, because it's still cold, man.
Okay. Yeah. So here's what's coming up. Our 12th annual summer summit is going to be at Superior High School this summer. It's July 23 and 24. It's going to be two full days of learning, networking, connecting with other people around the state who care about public schools, who want to know more about how to get organized, who want to know how to talk about these things in a responsible way so that we have full receipt of the facts and we understand what the impacts are in the kids in our communities when we undersell and underfund our public schools, but also to just connect with each other. learn from our organizing partners, find out more about what's happening in other districts, and be an ambassador for the sort of change that benefits not just the kids in our own communities, but all around the state. Being a stronger collective voice is really what we're all about at Wisconsin Public Education Network. And our whole motto is like, let's come together and get trained up and know what we have to do where we live to influence our elected officials, but then stick together as a statewide thing so that we can have a stronger collective voice and really move the dial together. So if you go to wisconsinnetwork.org/summit, you can sign up today to attend that summer event. It's going to be super fun. There's also a great hotel package, so you can make a long weekend of it, bring up the fam. There comes with lunch and dinner are included. It's going to be great. And you can get one of these shirts for free if you get the Blue Ribbon Partner Pass. It's going to be amazing. Yeah. So that's going to be super fun. So that's July 23 and 24 this summer. Save the date and get yourself registered. But also, it's February, y'all, and that means it's Public Schools Week, right? End of this month is I Love My Public Schools Week, February 23 to 27. And we have a full week of actions, events, and celebrations planned. And that is an awesome opportunity for you to try to just kind of plug into what's going on in your district, amplify and celebrate the cool things that educators and students are doing all week long, support local action like they're doing through partners in our network all over the state. And then on Friday, we're having a day of action at the Capitol, which is going to be amazing. Noon in the rotunda, we're going to have a big event, and then we're going to have a little party afterwards. So visit wisconsinnetwork.org to find out more about all that. And the other thing I want to flag is on Thursday, February 26th, our new and emerging group of Sun Prairie Student Action is holding their first event. They are high school students who are going to be in conversation with student organizers from Kentucky Youth Voice, who you might be familiar with their work. That's a group of students who are suing the state for fair funding, and some students from Students Engaged to Advance Texas, I think is their acronym, SEAT, who are doing amazing work fighting back against privatization that is underselling kids in public schools in Texas. So that's Thursday night. It's a free webinar, and you can learn more about all this on our website, and I hope you do.
Wow.
So lots of opportunities to plug in. And if you've been on the sidelines about this and you think, you know, I just don't want to be a noisemaker, I want to do something that's really going to matter, we've got a place for you in our network. There is so much work to be done, and there are so many people who are doing it. We also need all hands on deck, both spring and fall elections this year. So if you want to get off the sidelines, make sure public school champions get elected, but you want to stay outside of the partisan fray because that's not your thing, we're the place for you. We don't endorse candidates. We're not here to, you know, pick one party or another. We're here to hold all of our friends accountable for being the grownups our kids need right now and to do the right thing by our public schools.
And yeah. I'll just put this plug there, Heather, all those things, listeners, and is the best place to go to learn. Either you go to the website or you go to the social medias or attend any of these events. Go figure that a group of educators and concerned people about education would be good at teaching things, but you don't have to be an expert or overly passionate about the subject, but to a great place to become informed. And that's part of being a democratic citizen. And it's your organization, Heather, and you know what you share, but what the whole org does is help teach us all why public schools matter, why these issues are so important, and how to navigate them in a way that we feel part of, a way that we see the reason, you know, and the logic for how we ought to fund our public schools, why public schools are important, what we can do about it. So great place to go be a learner as well. Heather, thanks so much for everything you share.
And you know,
I know it's a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on.
Thanks for busting pencils, Heather. That's the reality right there. And man, for bringing up margarine and butter made me think of parquet. But hey, all this talk about property taxes, it's like, Heather, there's got to be some other things going on too, right?
Yeah, one of the things that people in Wisconsin are getting really worked up about right now is finding out that your tax bill is not what it seems. when we get our tax bills in the mail, there's a line on there that says, you know, how much is being levied for our local district. What you don't know is that your district is required by law to pay out a certain amount of that total. I've been advocating for a long time for something we call voucher taxpayer transparency, which is, and there's been bills that have come up again and again in the state house that would require those voucher costs to be disclosed on our tax bills. Well, none of those bills have ever gotten a hearing. And so some districts are taking it into their own hands and they're just putting it on their tax bills anyway. And this year, Green Bay was the first district in the state to get that information right on their actual tax bill. And so you can see if you live in the Green Bay Area School District, a line on your tax bill that shows how much of that total is going to pay for the publicly funded but not publicly operated and unaccountable voucher and independent charter schools in your districts. And so we've launched a voucher transparency program, which calls on people to just ask for those bills, those figures to be added onto your tax bill too. And until the state wants to correct its ways, we can just do this ourselves at the local level. It's actually pretty easy. And with nearly $2 billion going into the voucher program in this biennium, it's really important that we have a mechanism for tracking that and letting the public know how much we're really spending on these unaccountable schemes. So another reason why our taxes are going up and up while our investment in schools continues to go further and further down. So if people want to learn more about that, they can go to wisconsinnetwork.org/privatization or just click on the take action button at the top of the page. And you can learn more about how we can help you do that in your community. And chances are there's somebody already working on it because this project is taking off like wildfire all over the state. It's been pretty exciting. But kudos to Green Bay. And also, shout out to the folks in Racine, Milwaukee, Madison, and a couple of other districts that have already been putting inserts in their tax bills that show these costs as well. There's districts that have been putting on their website and stuff too. But this is the best way to make sure that everybody sees it, which is how it should be, right? Isn't that how transparency is supposed to work? You know what you're paying for and where your money is going? Thought that's what we wanted more of.
We love transparency.
And accountability are two favorite things in the public schools world.
Now it's time for your moment of zen. If patriotism were defined not as blind obedience to government, not as submissive worship to flags and anthems, but rather as love of one's country, one's fellow citizens all over the world, as loyalty to principles of justice and democracy, then patriotism would require us to disobey our government when it violated those principles.
Thanks for listening to Busted Pencils Class in Session. And you can always grab great podcasts like this one. Just search Busted Pencils on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And of course, you can always find us on the Civic Media website or at BustedPencils.com. Hey, and don't forget to find us throughout the week, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday with homerooms, class in sessions, and always loads of fun with Jacob's Producer's Choice. And listen up, pencil busters. You know you can always catch the Busted Pencils broadcast at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media Network stations for 1 hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.